Yeah. Good morning, Tyler.
Good morning, Miriam.
Nice to see you here in the studio of ROV Radio. And the concert in Pitanga was not really well attended, but it was really successful, I think so, at least with those who were there. Can you tell us where you're coming from and maybe the reasons why you came here to Oroville?
Yes, I live in Seattle, Washington, where I play music full-time. And I'm from Victoria, Canada, which is about a 4-hour ferry ride from Seattle. And near Victoria is Vancouver. And in Vancouver is a university that hosts a program called Integrative Energy Healing. And Integrative Energy Healing is a 3-year program designed to incorporate teachings from India, China, and North American Native traditions, such that we learn how to use universal energy to promote healing in the body. And through that process, I identified a certain way of playing music that has always been in my awareness growing up. I'm 29 now, and I started playing violin when I was 5 years old. And in my 20s, I began to really explore the subtler aspect of music. Like, why does a certain moment interest someone as opposed to another moment? And through my energy studies and meditative studies, I began to identify certain states that were associated to these moments. And I came to Oroville with a background in this, as I say, for about 9 years exploring it. And the last 3 years have been sped up quite a bit through my energy studies. And when I came here, it was the final project of our internship. We call it so. For 1 month, we come here and we work with villagers. We do healing work with them. And we've also been doing some teaching. So they're learning how to do what we do, which is a beautiful bridging that has come from the fact that in India, that is where the teachings have originated. And then in Canada.
That is a little bit puzzling for me. You're okay. Teaching them something they're supposed to know already.
Yes, in one sense. The Indias, as I've learned from Ananda Reddy, because we stayed in Sakhar in Pondicherry and had a couple of lectures from him. India's background is so rich in spiritual teachings, and in the West, we've been studying this because the North America needs this kind of soul, this kind of connection to something beyond the patriarchal system. And yet, the learnings that we have in North America of healing are very helpful in their own sense. And so our school has bridged these two. And
you mean the Native American people?
That and also The allopathic, actually, medicine, the modern Western medicine. Because what has happened in Canada and North America and the Western world is we're starting to have computer systems that are able to analyze the energy that happens in our spiritual studies. Does this make sense?
Somehow, yeah, but I'm trying to connect.
Yeah.
So you're looking for the origins and you're going back. Okay, in the way the villages probably forgot through the last centuries.
That's right.
So somehow it does make sense. And I was also wondering, you're looking for the integrative healing methods and processes, but you're focused on music.
Well, this is what has happened. It's my energy work has elevated my music. And so the studies, my spiritual studies, have opened a way of thinking for music that was not accessible for me before. And so you asked why I came to India. It was as part of the energy program to study with the villagers. And when I came to India, I immediately felt energetically the spirit that is in the land, the very soil of the land, is attuned to spirit. And that really sped up my process, so much so that these pieces that I had been working on for several years started to come in very quickly and coalesce. And I did actually quite a bit of writing in the 2 weeks of arriving here that was in the concert. And
so we had a chance to hear really new pieces.
That's right. It was very new.
A reflection of what was going on with you and probably a little bit of Orville.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah, I think Orville was created, let's say that it makes sense that Orville is in India with this attunement that is in this land.
Yeah. And it does make sense.
Yeah.
Really,
yeah.
You are traveling around, and it seems to me that you're really in tune with the energies which are in the spaces. Mm-hmm. And I know that's my experience, that some spaces are really sacred, that you feel immediately something is in there.
Yes.
Can you feel it? Or,
oh, yes.
Or you,
very
do
much.
You study about that?
Very much. And this is exactly what we learn. And what I am exploring in sound is how to, basically I'm making a meditation with sound, and I'm not trained or educated whatsoever in the Indian modality of Indian classical music, mm-hmm. except so much that I know that that is related to what they are working on. For me, it came from a Western background of classical music and folk music. And for me, I always found there was something slightly missing, but when I would improvise, I would watch, for me, my heart would light up, and I would just, I would feel fresh, and I would feel excited about music. And what I noticed was that the audience was responding to that. And it was so dramatic that I almost ignored it until other people said, "Did you notice?" when everyone's head would turn and they would watch. And so what has happened now is I find if I can surrender enough so that I'm not performing from my mind and I'm just letting the music flow from me, then I enter this state of what I noticed in improvising, the state of an energy flow.
I'm being a tool.
Yeah, exactly. Being a vehicle for this divine force to come through in the modest way that it might be happening for me, and then it is a dance of, like I say, it's like a meditation of music, right? Because when you meditate, you may have a certain goal in mind, and then there are other forces that try to distract you. And as a musician, you know, you play and you're in the moment and it's flowing, and then all of a sudden you have to think, oh, where do I go now? And when you do that, the energy changes a little bit. This is what I'm exploring and dancing with.
But anyhow, it's from the past already known that the frequencies of music or some kind of repetitive tones, and how the sound itself has got a frequency which does touch us.
That's right.
In a certain parts of the body, because you were also on the concert, you were saying a little bit about that. that maybe the certain frequency can really open up one part of the body.
Mm-hmm.
Are you maybe really categorizing that?
Exploring
somehow?
There, I am certainly exploring, and we were just discussing about the energy of the room. And for me, good music has always been about an interaction with the audience. Mm-hmm. And what is so wonderful in this setting in Oroville is that people are more attuned to the subtle energy. And so in my music, what I am doing is actually also what the audience is doing. So, for example, we started the performance with a meditation. And what I wanted to do with that was to open up the energy field in the room so that we were all working together. If the audience member is listening to music with their thinking mind, if they are going, oh, I like this, oh, I don't like that, or, oh, wow, look at how fast his fingers are moving. Exactly, we're on the mental level. And when I'm making music in this way, I'm trying to release the mental level. And so what I am exploring is also what the audience is exploring. So I hope that the audience will listen from their heart, and if it helps, go into a meditative kind of practice so that they can release the mental aspect and just be in the music. Because when they do that, it's a co-creative experience in bringing more of the divine down into the energy of the room.
That is just my thought. But is it somehow with the music you can really open somebody up? Because
yes.
At some point, that I believe it's like, you know, if I was pinching you and keep pinching you, at some point I said, okay, that hurts, you know.
Yeah. At some point, something shifts.
Or we are still so mental that we also ignore that part.
My personal thought and experience is that music deeply moves people. People come up after performances in North America where I'm playing more of, for lack of a better term, more of a popular genre. But when the music that we are playing is special in that it is spiritually based, it is coming from our heart. We are not making rock and roll for the radio. And people come up and they are deeply moved by the music. And in the meditative music that I'm making in Oroville, I'm making in one sense, in a higher frequency, because it is trying to really be only a vehicle of the spirit that is flowing through. And when we do that, we open up a higher frequency, which allows the energy in the audience members to open and change.
Okay, but because also it was said that you are a folk musician,
mm-hmm.
and some of the tunes, at least starting, were really resembling on the Celtic, so which I would say it's genetic memory.
Right.
It's probably in North America because with all the settlers.
Right.
Are you consciously trying to bring up those roots, maybe?
I'm not consciously trying to do it, but this is the dance that I'm doing because for me, the truth is what I'm seeking in my performance. And where I am at right now, I grew up playing Celtic music and classical music, and I grew up with a modern sensibility in terms of music that appeals to people in popular music. And I think that there is a connection in that. I think that they are not separate. And so if I can bring something that's familiar, but through a vehicle of spiritual performance, then maybe it will help people to access the music, because not everyone is ready just to hear a pure tone that is played by an enlightened being and have them feel. And that's not me. I'm not saying that's me,
to visualize that.
Right. Yeah. But because in one sense, if I were to be purely playing from spirit, then I would not have a mental construct around what I'm doing, and I would just let the music flow. If I were to do that, who knows what might happen. But for me right now, I think that this combination of my truth, where I am right now, is that I'm a musician that plays all these different types of music, and I am a seeker in my place as I am, and so I try to let that come forward and be as it is.
But the way I see you, also aspire to be a healer, yeah?
Yes.
Before, we are, it's really true, we are now the people of technology, so to speak, although it's also all the crystals. What about the binaural beats and the frequencies of solfeggio, which are right now for the healing pretty popular? Have you tried them out? Or
yes.
What is your thought about that?
Well,
because you said one tone, then I was...
There are many ways that one could look at sound healing, and for me, I'm looking at it from more of an organic place, more of a place of heart, just letting my heart make the music and allowing my heart to be open to the divine and let it play through, because that is what I am attuned to. That is what I've spent my life crafting and bringing forward. And I think when one communicates truth from their heart, it's deeply healing.
And you got the instruments. That's another thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, too, because you and the instrument.
That's right, exactly. And so I think it's a spiritual seeking for both me and the instrument. You know, I bring my instrument where I can to meditations and things like that, because it holds a certain consciousness as well.
Sure.
Yeah.
At school, you were saying you are visiting or the university or whatever, you know, the institutions. There are any other methods of integrative healing beside the sound?
Indeed. What we are taught is laying on of hands healing. So it's
like Reiki?
It is energy. That is a simple and straight ahead example, yes. But it is different because, to be technical, Reiki is a certain frequency that is channeled from the original master, and what we are taught is more of a universal aspect, more of one that's called full spectrum healing. So our teachers teach us that we are open to all healing energies to flow through, and then we are educated through the Vedic system and the meridian system, and as I said, the Native American, those are the three primary traditions that we are taught. And then through our hands, we change the energy field, or correction, we allow the universe to make whatever changes are needed in the body as it's ready.
Since you are an institution, are you still measuring those things?
Measuring in what way?
Because the all the auric fields can be measured.
Yeah.
They can be also photographed. You know?
Yeah.
So, and you're measuring these frequencies, because in the end it's also about the hertz, is the frequencies which goes up and down, yeah?
Yeah. So basically, for our graduation, they have us do a healing. So they'll take a photograph of our auric field, and then we do a treatment on ourselves, and then they take another photograph, and we see that we've changed the field.
Cool.
And that is a very basic system, just in order to indicate that we're changing. But there are very advanced methods that are happening in the West that are using scientific study to analyze exactly what's happening with these things that we know as human beings are in fact happening. We can sense the spiritual changes, the energetic changes. But our school, as they say, is... our teachers are striving to give us a foundation so that we have somewhere to start, because it is such a broad world of spiritual study. It is invaluable for our students, for me as a student, to have had that basic grounding so I can have a language to understand these teachings and the energies. And for me, it was always about my personal development rather than becoming a healer with a table and having clients. Mm-hmm. And somehow I anticipate it would work in music. Mm-hmm. And that's what's been so exciting about being in India, is that it's I've made a huge transformation so that I've deeply understood a new way of, for me to make music.
So beside you, the whole group is coming from the same school?
Yes, there was 12
of us
that came from our graduating class. There were more people in our graduating class, but some of them did the work in North America. They did World Service projects in Canada.
How, because we are talking about the things which are onboarding and still trying to fly out of the construct of mental consciousness of Western people, so to speak, which means European side and the ones who populated to other parts of the planet. How it's possible that something like that exists, and what is the criteria that one can apply?
In terms of how are you taught?
No,
this?
Because we all know that we're all different and we all go through this different processes, and I can imagine, at least so I heard in Russia, that basically there are some methods to measure somebody who's got really high bioenergy field that it can allow to be attending.
Yeah.
Maybe the classes like that.
How
it's done in that case.
Oh.
And how it's accepted in the society, because it's really, for some people, it's probably something like you're talking about the magic.
Yeah, absolutely. And this is, I think, one of the greatest gifts of our program is that there has been a very large amount of work put in by several leading women in the field in North America who have managed to show the work is legitimate to the point that an institution was willing to certify it, along with massage therapy and acupuncture and these things. And so, like I said, we had a test at the end of our schooling to show that we could make a change. So there was a system in place for showing this change, as well as we do a number of case studies where we'll work with a client several times who has a recurring problem, and then we measure their improvement. Like they may have an ulcer, and then at the end it's gone. So they keep track of that. So to answer your question about who can come, it's open for anyone to come. That being said, just like people that come to Oroville, it's a soul calling. It's something beyond our thinking mind that will end up having a person make it through this whole course. And as such, they are usually equipped. Everyone is equipped, ultimately, to be able to do this work. So that, I think that would be how I would answer that.
Still, but it's still probably in those regions of alternative medicine areas, probably, yeah.
Yes, something. It's very much in that. However, because of the work that's been done at our school, now, don't quote me on this because I'm not 100% clear, but I do understand that there are some hospitals opening to, if a patient requests it, they can have an energy healer in their room and do the work. And that is a huge, big, big change, because the allopathic doctors don't like this work as a general rule, because potentially it's taking away business. Now, what we're seeing in our school is that with this change of consciousness that's happening around our world, the clients are coming to us because they know someone who's had a good experience. It's not because their doctor said it's okay. It's not because the insurance company sent them to them. It's not because of anything else, except that their heart heard that it works. And so that is what is extraordinary. And the Western system of medicine is changing so quickly because it has to, because their clients are now they're coming to the GP after they've been to an acupuncture and an energy therapist and all these different types of things.
Cool. Sounds good. Please, I'm ready.
I've been here for 1 month. Well, not quite. I arrived on February 10th. So yeah, nearly a month. And it's just been...
What is your reflections, your feelings, your dreams maybe? I mean, you know... Because I believe you're more open to those kind of observations of yourself.
Yes. My feeling is that there's a template being held in Oroville for... a seeking of manifesting this into the world, of living from a different way of being, living from the heart. And I'm reflecting on what I see physically and what I see in the established world here of, and like I say, of the physical world. So of the organizations and of the buildings and of the people that I've met. And I think that is as simple as I could put it, is that it's holding an opportunity for the world to have a place to experiment with this. The other thing that I'm seeing is that it is happening in North America. For example, just this morning, I'm staying at the U.S. Pavilion.
It's a purpose.
Okay, this is okay though. Okay.
Yeah.
And I'm also getting used to that. The power just went out. But I'm staying at the U.S. Pavilion, and I started chatting with a couple of architects, Manu and Nadi, and they were telling me about their plan of developing a economically affordable housing system where, with volunteers and used material, they can build off-the-grid houses that can be used to be homes in Oroville, which, as they told me, would solve a big issue, which is if you want to live in Oroville, you need the money to build a home. And I think that is so fantastic because, as they said, you know, this is a young generation that's working on this project. And at home in Seattle, I have a dear friend who is working on a similar idea, which is to bring self-sustaining communities to various cities up and down the West Coast, where they would move there into a park or something with permission of the city, and they would demonstrate to the city how you can have a sustainable off-the-grid housing system. What I see in Oroville is a wonderful opportunity to come and be immersed in a community like this. And then when I go home to Seattle, I have a very different attunement. I already see changes happening in my life there. And it will be changes that might be challenging for sure. But I mean, that's what spiritual growth is. And I've let go of even thinking of it as challenging. It's just the growth of the spirit. And it is such a gift to be able to come here and be surrounded by like-minded people, because it allows me to clearly really work on my inner attunement to that process. So when I go home to Canada or to the US, I can share it very strongly. And then, you know, I haven't made any plans, but I could imagine myself back here, you know? And
yeah. And then it goes... For some things it's easy because you are not defined by those thoughts, which are usually conveyed to us through the media.
Yes.
Have you been in Matri Mandir?
Yes, I've been going regularly since I've been living here in Oroville.
Yeah.
Only for several days.
What do you think about it?
Oh, I love it. Basically, I felt that exactly like the mother and Sri Aurobindo said, it's a place for concentration. And that is what happens to me when I go there. I'm able to more clearly feel my whatever I put my attention on. Information comes more clearly, and when I say information, sometimes it's a mental thought, sometimes it's just a feeling. And what I've been doing is bringing something that I'm working on, which for example, in this process, being here has been so amazing that I've really connected to what it is to surrender. And, or the beginning of what, they're just words, you know, you can only describe so much, but my connection and understanding on my mental level and my being has really increased so that I know a pathway for me to open to surrender. So when I was confused about what music was going to be for this concert, because when we agreed to do it, the music was still being formed. And so here I have this balancing, and so I needed to surrender to allow the right information to come through, because I didn't...
To flow through it.
Exactly. And so that was a huge gift. And so now I bring that to the Matrimandir, and I bring, okay, this is what's happening in my life. And I hold that, and my teachings in school have been so helpful for me, because for me, prior to going to school, I did not consciously know that I was in touch with spirit. I was always in touch when I would perform, but I did not name it. And I mentioned in the concert, and you had commented afterwards about that the music sounded as though I was remembering.
On the empty spaces, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, I loved that comment. You said that the space between the notes sounded like where the music was and where the remembering was. One of my first teachers, Brenda Anderson, at school, said, "This course is not so much about learning as it is about remembering."
Well, yeah. Then I remember the other quote, which says, "If you would know how to read the book of life,
yeah,
what do we need schools for?"
Right, exactly.
And it's probably about really to learn again how to remember, which we knew thousands years ago.
And we still know. That's the most amazing thing, and I think that is what this time is about, is bringing that innate knowledge that we have inside of us and pairing it with the magical things that we've learned through our mental capacity. I mean, that's a divine gift as well. But now I think when we bring them together, we can transcend it. And for me, that's that there's a certain sense of truth in when I play music that I allow my influences of my folk background and my classical background to permeate the music that I'm doing, as well as seeking to let go of my mental activity while I'm playing, so that I can be more open to spirit flowing.
Should we wrap it up?
Yeah.
It's getting late before this. Let's get another power cut.
Yeah, sure.
Thank you so much for coming. I know it's so much to talk still. Until next time.
Oh, yes. Thank you very much, Miriam.